And if you did, then I'd like for you to turn with me to Psalms 116. Psalms 116, that is 116. And if you didn't bring a Bible, we have some in the back. You can borrow one or you can look on with your neighbor. But I would like for you to be able to follow along this morning with me in the scriptures. Praise God. You know, last week, actually it was the week before, last week our brother Sid was here. But the week before I taught a message from Matthew 22 where, remember they tried to trick the Lord? Oh, who, should we pay the temple tax? Should we pay the tax? Should we pay the census tax? And he said, give me a coin, whose inscription on it? And then he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God's. Yeah. Render unto God the things that are God's. So I taught a couple of weeks ago on the first part of that verse, rendering unto Caesar, what we will render and what we won't. And today I would like to speak on the second part of that verse, and that is rendering unto God the things that are God's. Rendering unto God the things that are God's. You know, the fact is, we can render to Caesar what is Caesar's and still not have discharged our duty to the Lord. Because the Lord did say, Matthew 22, verse 21, that we ought to render unto God the things that are God's. Render unto God the things that are God's. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Because the word render, the Greek word, means to pay back. That's what it means. To pay back, to discharge a debt, to pay off. It can mean to give or to deliver. But the basic meaning of the word is to repay. So here's what the Lord says. Render unto God the things that are God's. How do you repay God? How can we repay God for his blessings, his benefits, his mercies, his goodness? Is it possible? I mean, is it... The fact is, that's the question King David asks in Psalms 116. If you're there, Psalms 116, I want us to look at verse 12. Psalm 116... Verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Remember, render unto God the things that are God's. He says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? What will I give God? I mean, you think about it. How can I give God? What can I do to repay God for anything? You know, when you get to be my age, middle aged, you know, still young middle aged, it gets harder and harder to buy gifts for my wife. You know, like birthdays. The kids call me. They say, Dad, what are we going to get Mom? It's Mother's Day. It's her birthday. It's always a dilemma. What are you going to give Mom? Because really and truly, we're not rich by any worldly standard, really. But the Lord has blessed us so that if we want something, we just go buy it. I mean, within reason, you know, it's not like I'm going to go buy a Maserati or something, you know, but I mean, basically, if I want a shirt, I'll go buy it. If I see a fishing pole, I just buy it, you know. But for my wife, what do I buy for my wife that would be in her taste and that she doesn't already have? Or it's tough. It's tough. I saw in Forbes richest, I was looking to see if I was in there, you know, the richest people in America. But they said Warren Buffett is worth $63 billion. So, now, look, he's not the number one guy in America. Gates is worth $80 billion. So here's my thought. What would you give him for his birthday? I mean, you could give him a gift card to Walmart. Well, I mean, what are you going to give somebody that has so much? What in the world could you give them? Now, here's the real question. How can we give God? How can we repay God? I mean, let's face it. The Bible says, Psalms 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He says, not only is the earth his, the hills are mine, the beast of the forest are mine, and all the cattle on 1,000 hills. What are we going to give God? The earth is just a speck of dust in God's portfolio. I mean, the whole earth. Think about it. Bill Gates has $80 billion. The Lord has billions of stars, of planets, of moons and suns and universes and galaxies. What? How can we repay God? Here is David's question. Verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? What really and truly, how can we render unto God, repay God for all that he's done? In fact, God's blessings towards us have been so great, so numerous, so multiplied, we don't even know them all. We don't even know. We can't even calculate them all. There's an interesting verse in Psalms 40. I'm going to read it to you. Psalms 40 in verse 5 says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. That is, you can't count them. You can't add them up. He says, Psalms 40, verse 5, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God's blessings are more than can be. Guess what? We can't add that high. We don't have enough numbers to calculate, to add up the blessings of God. He gave us life. He gave us breath.
Thank you, Lord.
He gives us shelter and food to eat and water to drink and clothes to wear and shoes on your feet. He's a roof over your head and people who care about you. How can we repay God for that? And he saved us. He sent his only son to die for us on the cross. He erased our sinful past, gave us eternal life. How do we repay God for that? How do we render unto God what is God's, really? How do we do that? The simple answer, of course, is that we can never repay God for the multitude of his blessings. We can't even count his blessings. They're incalculable. There's too many of them to number. No repayment is possible, not even remotely within the realm of possibility. And yet, the Lord said, Matthew 22:21, render unto God what is God's. Give God the things that belongs to God. Give to him the things that are his. Render to him what's his. When I was thinking about this past week, I thought about the fact that my wife and I, you know, we've been married for 43 years. How could I adequately repay her for 43 years? How could I, really, how could I do that? 43 years of love, 43 years of faithfulness. How could you repay a faithful wife? I mean, what could you give her? Could you give her some money? I mean, really and truly, would that be adequate to repay for all of that? My point is, if we can't even repay a faithful wife or a faithful husband for their years of love and service, and how much less can we give God what he deserves? The one who bought us, who sought us out, and who rescued us when we were perishing, who delivered us from hell and death. I mean, where would you be today had God not rescued you? Had God not lassoed you and brought you to the light? Where would you be? Maybe dead? Maybe in hell right now? Maybe in jail? Maybe, you know, it's by his grace. It's how can we repay this God who has been so good to us? Well, I want to continue to use the analogy about how do you repay a faithful wife. Because I'm going to tell you, no gift, no flowers could adequately repay all those years of faithfulness and love. But I'll tell you what my wife does want from me. And this, I believe, is true for every wife and really for every husband. How do you repay the love of a faithful wife? I'll tell you how. You accept that love and you return it. That's how. You accept it, you relish it, you treasure it, and you return it. That's what you do. Because what a wife wants is what same thing a husband wants. You want your spouse's faithfulness. You want their love, you want their loyalty, and you don't want any competitors for their affections. That's what God wants. That's exactly what God wants. He wants you to accept His love, love it, cherish it, and He wants you to return it. That's what He wants. The great Shema, Deuteronomy 6, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind. Jesus said, with all your soul and all your strength. He said, it's the first and greatest commandment. Amen. I'll give you another verse. Here's a great little verse. In fact, if you'll keep your finger right here, I'm coming right back. But I would like for you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23. I want to read a verse over here. How do we render unto God what is God's? Well, this is part of the answer right here. You accept the great love that He offers and you return it. And in Proverbs 23 and verse 26, here's what God wants. Proverbs 23, 26. My son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. Give me your heart. These are the words of Solomon to his son. But you know this passage transcends Solomon's words to his son, and they go right to the words of God speaking to each and every one of us. And this is what he says to you. This is what God says to me. My son, my daughter, give me your heart. Remember, we're to render to God what is God's. It means to repay. It also means to give. Amen. So here's what the Lord would have us to give. How can we repay? Here's what God wants. Give Him your heart. Give Him your heart. Y'all awake?
Amen.
The God of the universe wants your heart. And you know He wants all of your heart. He wants all of it, not just a part of it. He doesn't want you to divide your heart and give Him a portion of it and give the other portion to the world. You know, in the pursuit of pleasures or selfish indulgences or self-gratification or sinful pursuits. He wants our heart and He wants all of our heart.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something else. If you don't give God your heart, then nothing else you do give Him is acceptable. Y'all awake?
Yeah.
If you don't give Him your heart, nothing else you do give Him is acceptable.
Amen.
Because that's where it starts. Give me your heart. My son, give me your heart. That's what the Lord wants us to render unto Him. That means you, you yourself. It's interesting, that word in the Hebrew. It appears over 500 times in the Hebrew, and like 485 times it's translated heart. That's what God wants. He wants your heart. And He wants all of your heart. That means all of your love, all of your loyalty. Because you know, to only give Him half or a portion is to be unfaithful. It's like your relationship with your spouse. You can't tell your spouse, look, I'm going to give you half my heart. I'm going to love you half the week. But the other half the week, you know, I got somebody on the other side of town. Half faithfulness is what? Unfaithfulness. Same thing. Yeah. Half loyalty is what? Disloyalty. And the same thing is true with God. When we say render, when God says render unto God what is God's, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? Here's what he wants. He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. All of your heart. Lord, take my heart. Here's what. Lord, I have nothing else to give you. What are you going to give him? You going to give God money? In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, some very familiar verses, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A complete sacrifice. This is what he wants. All of us. And you know, when you are to present your body as a living sacrifice, you know, that's a continuous offering. In other words, we're not supposed to just temporarily commit our lives to the Lord. I'm going to serve you for a while. It's all the time. All the time, always, all of your life. In fact, you still have your finger in Proverbs 23? You know, there are many things competing for your affection. You know that. Many things. Here's what he says. Give me your heart. My son, give me your heart. Let your eyes observe my ways. Isn't it interesting that when you read the context of this fatherly advice in Proverbs 23, he contrasts this with the pursuit of wine, women, and song that has captured the hearts of so many others. In fact, just a couple of verses. Verse 20, he says, be not among the winebibbers, among the riotous eaters of flesh. He's talking about this gluttonous, revelry, party-seeking, fleshly, self-indulgent. He says, verse 21, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. Drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Don't be like the world. They think having a great time is getting drunk on the weekends, running after women or running after men, or smoke a little dope, drink something alcoholic. You know how the world thinks. You know how they live. As opposed to giving your heart to self-indulgence and decadence and worldly pleasures, he says, give me your heart. Give me your heart. In fact, you read the rest of this passage. He talks about some of the other things people give their hearts over to. Like verse 17, let not your heart envy sinners. But you live in the fear of God all the time, all day long. Don't envy sinners. Don't give yourself over to their greed or that jealousy or that pursuit of worldly things. That's not going to satisfy anybody. No, don't give your heart to that. It's unworthy of you to love that. You give me your heart. That's what the Lord is saying. David's question, Psalms 116 and verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? What is adequate for even me as just a mere mortal, what's adequate for me to give or to repay my wife for 43 years of love and faithfulness? What's adequate? Actually, all she wants from me is that I receive that love from her and that I return it. That's what she wants. I know that's what she wants. That's what I want. And that's what God wants. In fact, in Psalms 116, are you still there? Still got your finger there? Look with me, Psalms 116, because he asked this question, what do I render to the Lord for all his benefits? Notice he says this very thing, verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. That is, accept his love, accept it, embrace it, this love, this grace, these mercies. Receive it with gratitude, the cup of salvation that he offers. Receive it with gratitude and return it. return it by loving him, giving him your heart. That's what he says. You know, if somebody loved you with all of their heart, were loyal and faithful, and you did not return that love, if you did not accept it and did not return it, you'd crush that person. And that we have people here, right here today, who could testify to what it's like to be crushed by someone who betrayed them, or who didn't value their love, or who didn't return their love. There's too many of us who could testify to that, because the world has become, you know, increasingly selfish. In the same way, I believe the greatest affront, the greatest offense we could do to the Almighty is to refuse his grace, to refuse his love, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because look, this verse right here, verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation. This is a picture. This is a picture that it's offered to us. This cup of salvation is offered to us. It's God's love extended towards us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. Will you take it? Will you take it from his hand? Will you receive his love? And will you return it by loving him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength? The greatest offer ever made, he offers this cup of salvation. It's a free gift extended to you and me. You take it, and you take it from the hand of God himself. This is the grace of forgiveness, forgiveness of sin. This is the grace of God erasing your old life, all your failures, all your mistakes, all the things that you messed up so bad. So many things we've messed up our lives, so many ways. Take this cup, because you know God forgives that. He forgives it. He erases it. That's what the Bible says. So that he will never bring it up again and torment you with it. Other people might. There are people who will never let you forget your mistakes. But you know God will forgive you. He will forgive you completely. No matter how far you've gone, or no matter how many times you fail, will you take the cup from his hand, the cup of salvation that he offers? You see, how do we repay the Lord? How do we do it? Accept what he offers us and return it. Accept his gift. Accept it. Don't slap his hand away. And don't ever say, I'm not worthy of it. Because none of us are worthy of it. Take it by faith from the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says if you call upon him, you'll be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Or Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. One name. You call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive from his hand the cup of salvation and drink all of it. And look, right here in this same passage, he says, and then offer unto him thanksgiving. Look with me in verse 17. Same chapter, Psalms 116. I will offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. Our hearts, our minds, our thoughts should overflow with gratitude. Psalms 107 and verse 22 says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Or singing, as some versions translate it. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with singing. So be thankful. Be rejoicing and singing and honor him. Well, how about Hebrews 13:15? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God occasionally. No, it says continually. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know what? That's what God wants from us. What shall I render unto the Lord? How about gratitude? Thankfulness. How about a song in your heart? A song of praise, a song of gratitude, a song of thanksgiving. How about a heart filled with joy? And here's a good question, Christians, where is our joy? Where is our joy? Why the heaviness? Why the gloominess? What are we going through trials? You don't feel like praising? That's the time when you do it the most. You need to pray the most when you feel like praying the least. The same thing is true when it comes to offering up the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise. Offer it up. Render it unto the Lord. What shall I render unto you? What shall I give you, Lord? How about this sacrifice of praise? The fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name, Lord. We praise You. We bless You. We honor You. You know what I found? If I'll do it, even when I don't feel like it, yet in my heart I know, Lord, I love You. I want to honor You. I want to praise You. You know, if we'll do it, our feelings get in line. The feelings will line up.
Amen.
They'll get in line. But
thank You, Lord.
I like some of these other passages. How about this one? Psalms 98 and verse 4. Psalms 98:4. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises.
Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah.
It's okay to shout.
Amen.
Shout to the Lord. We sing this. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Shout. It's okay to shout.
Amen.
We're in church.
Right.
It's not a funeral home.
Right.
We're not here to mourn the dead.
Hallelujah.
He lives.
Amen.
How about Psalms 47, verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Yeah. Where's the voice of triumph? The voice of triumph. You know what that is? That means the voice of triumph is the shout of victory. We won. Praise God. In Christ, we win. We win. Where's the joy of thanksgiving? I believe this is the least we can offer Him. The very least we can offer. What? How shall I repay the Lord? Well, how about with some songs from your heart? Rejoicing, thanksgiving, praise. Clap your hands, all you people. You mean in church? It's okay? Absolutely. I think we ought to shake the dust off of our hands and get them up in the air and praise the Lord. And offer unto God the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Yes, absolutely. Psalms 116, verse 17. This is what it says. I'll offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. That's what we can offer the Lord. How can we repay the Lord? That's how we can do it. Give Him your heart. Give Him all of you.
Amen.
Give Him your praise, your thankfulness, gratitude. How about this one? He mentions something else here in this psalm, Psalms 116. This one, we don't talk about a whole lot here, but maybe we should. Psalms 116, you know, we can offer Him our offerings, our gifts. We can be a faithful steward. Psalms 116, verse 18. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. He says in verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits? What am I going to do? Well, here's one thing I'll do. I'll pay my vows. In fact, he says in verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Twice he says, I'll pay my vows now in the presence of all His people. The idea here is not conveying that I'm going to boast and show people how much I give. The idea is it's not the public display of giving, but the idea here is that I'm going to do it now in the sanctuary. It's not something I'm going to do at some future time by and by. Sooner or later, I'm going to get around to giving.
That's right. Amen.
But the idea is right here, right now, in the sanctuary, in the presence of God, and in the public assembly, in the gathering of the saints, in the house of God. In fact, that's what he says, verse 19, when he says, I'll pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Verse 18, verse 19, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Right here, right now, I'm going to give to the Lord. I'm going to. You know, the idea of paying your vows, this is a gift of gratitude, the fulfillment of a promise or an obligation. It's a voluntary offering, but the idea is that this is something that we render unto the Lord. When we talk about how can I render anything to the Lord for all his benefits? Well, we can be a generous giver. That's what we can do. We can be a giver and we can be generous. And while I could spend a great bit of time talking about this thing, this subject, I would like to say this and then move along. If you give God your heart, you won't have any problem giving him of your finances. If you give him your heart, then giving your finances is the easiest thing in the world to do. But if you don't give him your heart, then you'll begrudge every penny. You'll feel like you're under some obligation. Or like, you know, the church is just out to get my money. But, you know, when your heart has been surrendered to the Lord, then you don't look for excuses not to give or reasons not to give. And you don't have any reluctance. You give gratefully and generously. And remember what Paul said about our giving, that you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. But he also says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, every man as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Can you give with a smile? If you've given the Lord your heart, you can give with a smile. But that brings me back to my question. Psalms 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? I've got one more thing I want to mention here. And I think this is just as important. Not only do we give him our heart, not only do we accept his love and return it, give him all of our heart, and give him our praise, our gratitude from the heart, and be generous in our giving. But there's something else he requires right here that's equally important. He wants our loyalty. And we find that in verse 1 and 2 of Psalms 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear unto me. I want you to notice what he says in the latter part of verse 2. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. As long as I live. You know what this is a pledge of? Loyalty, faithfulness, fidelity. Our commitment to the Lord isn't a temporary thing. It's like marriage. You marry your spouse, it's supposed to be till death till you part. Not temporarily. It's not like, you know, I got a 2-year license, and if it works out good, you know, we'll renew it. It's not like your fishing license. It's supposed to be for better, for worse, sickness and health, for richer or poor, till death do you part. Well, I like this when he says, I will call upon him. That is, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to lean upon him. I'm going to live for him as long as I live. All my days, all my life. So when we're called to love the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, and all our soul, it's also supposed to be for all of our days. For all of our days, for all of our life. Today, tomorrow, forever, be loyal, be faithful, be fervent, be steadfast. Amen. And I mention that because we We live in a seductive world, and we cannot let our hearts stray. We cannot let our hearts be seduced by the world, and it's a very seductive world. You know, I've been using the analogy of marriage, and unfortunately, you know how many marriages start out right with love and commitment, and then they crash and burn for any variety of reasons, but usually there's selfishness involved, oftentimes infidelity involved. I do know this, that if a husband and wife have surrendered their hearts to God, you know, he says, give me your heart. If we give our hearts to God and we pledge our love and loyalty to him, then being faithful to a spouse is not a problem.
You're right.
It's not a problem. If we'll be faithful to the Lord, being faithful to a spouse is not a problem. But you know, when your heart strays, when your heart strays from its commitment to the Lord, that's when you get in trouble. Because that's when the devil finds a weakness in you. And then he will work on that weakness. That's all he needs, is a little weakness. And then he'll work on that weakness, magnify it, enlarge it, until he does his dastardly deeds. We cannot be seduced by the world. So what we render unto the Lord is not only our hearts and our love, but our loyalty, our faithfulness. How many people have started out well in the Christian life only to crash and burn? I heard a preacher say a while back, and I thought about it quite a bit since, and I think he had more, he was more right than wrong when he said, Rusty, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of the ministers that I know have not finished well. And I guess when I started thinking about that, how many have started well and labored for years and done many, I mean, just great work and service for the Lord, only to crash and burn when they get older. Some have gone off into doctrinal error and heresies. Others have fallen into sin. Some have fallen into financial wrongdoing. We have to not only run this race, we have to finish it, beloved. And that's true for you, for me, for each and every one of us. It means just like our love for our spouse has to be kept fresh and alive, our love for the Lord has to be always fresh and alive. Don't let your heart stray. You find yourself getting a little detached from the Lord and more attached to the world. That is a danger. Yeah. Let warning lights go off and sirens ring, and just remind yourself that it's you stay loyal to the Lord. You keep your heart submitted to him, and you will be blessed. It doesn't mean you won't go through trials and struggles and tribulations. We know that. But the Lord blesses and delivers and provides. I've got another interesting thought here. You know, he offers us this cup of salvation, verse 13. He says, I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll call upon the Lord. I'll take the cup. And look, when you take the cup of salvation, you never put it down. And you never take that salvation for granted. You never neglect it. But you call upon the Lord all of your days. As long as you live, you serve the Lord. But, you know, if you refuse this cup, then there are some very interesting passages in the Bible about another cup the Lord will give you to drink of. We want the cup of salvation. That's the one you want to drink from. If this one is refused and we choose to push away this offer, this hand of God, let me read a few other verses to you about another cup the Lord will give you to drink from. In Psalm 75 and verse 8, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth, shall wring them out and drink them. He says in Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 and 10, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Revelation 14, 9 and 10. You don't want to drink of that cup. The wine of the wrath of God that's poured out without mixture. That means he won't dilute it. When the time of wrath comes, he's not going to dilute that wrath. It's going to come in full measure and full force. So we want to make sure we are among those who receive the offer of forgiveness,
yes, Lord,
of changed life that he extends in that cup of salvation by calling upon the Lord. That's all you have to do, really. It's not complicated. It's, Lord Jesus, I call upon you. Lord Jesus, save me, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. He says, my son, give me your heart. How about you pray that way? Lord, I want to give you my heart. I want to give you all of my heart. I want to give you all of me.
Amen.
Don't hold any back. Don't say, Lord, I want to give you a part of me and hold back a part. But, Lord, I give you my heart.
Amen.
Change this heart, Lord. Lord, I find areas in my heart that I know are still not pleasing to you. So change this heart, Lord. I give it to you. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my all. And how about this? Be a thankful person. Too many people are grumpy and gloomy and complaining and murmuring and finding everything in the world to murmur and grumble and complain about. There are people, no matter what you say, they're going to say something negative about it. I mean, they can take the joy right out of you, right out of you in a minute. Like somebody pulled up, said, look at my brand new car. Yeah, I heard bad things about those.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, that's a nice looking car. Congratulations, you know, God's good. No, they can't say anything good about it. They're going to say, yeah, I read nothing but bad about that particular car. How about we be thankful people,
Amen.
Joyful people, praising people? It's all right to even be a little bit shouting. People think you're crazy people. I want to drink of the cup of salvation. I want to drink it and I want to keep drinking of it. And I don't want this cup of the wine of the wrath of God. See that? I don't want that one. So will you take the cup from the hand of the Lord as he offers it unto you? And this is the cup of salvation that is available only through Jesus Christ. You take of that cup. You treasure that cup. It's his offer to you. Accept this love and then return it by returning love to God. Love him with all of your heart. Give him your heart. Give him your praise. Give him your gratitude. Be a generous, joyful giver. And be loyal.
Amen.
Be a faithful, steadfast, rock solid, loyal believer.
Amen.
Too many flakes.
Yes.
Did I ever tell you about the lady who came to church one time, and she got to, she saw somebody in the church. She said, "Oh yeah, he's a biscuit." And I said, "What?" And then she talked about somebody else. Said, "Yeah, he's a biscuit." So what are you talking about, a biscuit? And she laughed and she said, you know, flaky. We got plenty of flaky people in the world. A lot of biscuits out there, I guess. You know, they can be excited for God one day, and the next day when you see them, they're like, they don't have any praise or joy or no willing service to the Lord. How about we give God our loyalty?
Amen.
By being a faithful, loyal,
yes,
servant, steward,
yes,
lover of God. I like to say about people, when I can say about that brother, is rock solid.
Amen.
or that sister is rock solid.
You're right.
You don't know what joy that gives just to a pastor. Imagine the joy it is to the Lord.
Amen.
When he has rock solid,
Amen.
Rock solid, immovable men and women who have committed their hearts to him,
yes.
and they are loyal every day of their lives.
Amen. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Father, we pray today, Lord, we thank you that you have offered to us the cup of salvation. Lord, we know that there is no adequate way to repay you for your many benefits and blessings and for this great grace of salvation. But Lord, we do know that you would have us to receive it and then to return the love that you have given to us so freely. Help us, Lord, to love you, to love you with all of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would pry us away from this world and its ways, its affections. Lord, let our hearts be fixed on you. Lord, we see that you say, give me your heart. Lord, we offer you our hearts right now without reservation. All of us, Lord, take our hearts and keep our hearts committed to you and undivided. And Lord, help us to be a joyful, thankful, grateful people, a people that loves God and loves God's people and has a burden for this perishing world, Lord. As we see the darkness all around us, Lord, let us be lights. Deliver us from gloom and melancholy, and deliver us, Lord Jesus, from heavy heartedness and negativity, and help us, Lord, to be a joyful, praising, thankful, God-honoring, God-serving people. Let us glorify you, I pray, Lord, one and all. Let us glorify you. Lord, help us to be a gracious, generous people. And Lord, help us to be loyal to you all the days of our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would help us not only to run this race, but to finish well. Lord, so that we hear from you, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, we pray this today in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.